It's good that we can be here and have this service of lessons and carols where we remember in a particular way the advent and birth of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. You'll see on the inside of your bulletin cover some of the important confessional statements we have regarding the coming of our Lord. In Article 17 of the Belgic Confession, we confess that we believe that our good God, by marvelous wisdom and goodness, seeing man had plunged himself into both physical and spiritual death and made himself completely miserable, set out to find him, though man trembling all over was fleeing from him. And he comforted him, promising to give him his son, born of a woman, to crush the head of the serpent and to make him blessed. And in Heidelberg Catechism, Lord's Day 14, we read these words about our Lord. What does it mean that he was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary? The answer is that the eternal Son of God, who is and remains true and eternal God, took to himself through the working of the Holy Spirit from the flesh and blood of the Virgin Mary, a true human nature, so that he might also become David's true descendant, like his brothers in all things except for sin. Question 36 asks, how does the holy conception and birth of Christ benefit you? The answer is, he is our mediator, and in God's sight, he covers with his innocence and perfect holiness my sin in which I was conceived. So we gather together to remember the promises that God made and how he fulfilled them all in the sending of his Son. And so our God calls us to his worship this evening with these words from Psalm 98, verses 1 through 4. Oh, sing to the Lord a new song, for he has done marvelous things. His right hand and his holy arm have worked salvation for him. The Lord has made known his salvation. He has revealed his righteousness in the sight of the nations. He has remembered his steadfast love and faithfulness to the house of Israel. All the ends of the earth have seen the salvation of our God. Make a joyful noise to the Lord, all the earth. Break forth into joyous song and sing praises. Let us stand that we might hear the blessing of our God. Dearly loved congregation of our Lord Jesus Christ, our help is in the name of the Lord who made heaven and earth, and he greets us this evening with these words from the book of Galatians. Grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ, who gave himself for our sins to deliver us from this present evil age, according to the will of our God and Father, to whom be the glory forever and ever. Amen. Let's pray together and ask God to bless our time. Our Lord, how majestic is your name in all the earth. You made the heavens and earth by your great power and your outstretched arm. Your invisible attributes, your eternal power and divine nature are clearly seen through what you have made, and the heavens declare your glory. You are the governor and sustainer of all things. In you all things hold together. In you we live and move and have our being, and you give to all life, breath, and all things. You work all things after the counsel of your own will. You have numbered even the hairs upon our heads, and not even a sparrow falls to the ground apart from your will. We praise you, our God, for these your great works of creation and providence, and you are also our Redeemer, God. There is no other God besides you, no other Savior, no other rock to whom the ends of the earth may turn and be saved. And we rejoice that you so loved the world that you gave your only begotten Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, to be the Savior of the world, and your Spirit to abide with us and in us, and to teach us all things. So may we have fellowship with you, and may our worship glorify you, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, and hear us, for we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Let's sing our opening carol, number 299, Joy to the World, the Lord is Come. Please be seated. And we'll turn to our first lesson together from Genesis chapter 3, verses 1 through 15. This is God's word. Now the serpent was more crafty than any other beast of the field that the Lord God had made. He said to the woman, "Did God actually say you shall not eat of any tree in the garden?" And the woman said to the serpent, "We may eat of the fruit of the trees in the garden, but God said, 'You shall not eat of the fruit of the tree that is in the midst of the garden. Neither shall you touch it, lest you die.' But the serpent said to the woman, 'You will not surely die. For God knows that when you eat of it, your eyes will be opened, and you will be like God, knowing good and evil.' So when the woman saw that the tree was good for food, and that it was a delight to the eyes, and that the tree was to be desired to make one wise, she took of its fruit and ate. And she also gave some to her husband who was with her, and he ate. Then the eyes of both were open, and they knew that they were naked. And they sewed fig leaves together and made themselves loincloths. And they heard the sound of the Lord God walking in the garden in the cool of the day. And the man and his wife hid themselves from the presence of the Lord God among the trees of the garden. But the Lord God called to the man and said to him, 'Where are you?' And he said, 'I heard the sound of you in the garden, and I was afraid because I was naked, and I hid myself.' He said, 'Who told you that you were naked? Have you eaten of the tree of which I commanded you not to eat?' The man said, 'The woman who you gave me to be with me, she gave me the fruit of the tree, and I ate.' Then the Lord God said to the woman, 'What is this that you have done?' And the woman said, 'The serpent deceived me, and I ate.' The Lord God said to the serpent, 'Because you have done this, cursed are you above all the livestock and above all beasts of the field. On your belly you shall go, and dust you shall eat all the days of your life. I will put enmity between you and the woman, between her offspring, your offspring, and her offspring. He shall bruise your head, and you shall bruise his heel.'" We begin here because this is the first announcement of the good news. I want to make some comments about this, but don't worry that I'm going to comment on every text as we go through and worry that you're in for a longer night than you anticipated. But this is the first, this is the oldest, this is the first announcement of the promise that God is making. We often refer to it as the proto-evangelion, from Greek words that mean proto, first, and evangelion means good news. This is the first announcement of the good news. The good news is there at the end. It doesn't seem like good news throughout. It gets to the good news there at the end when God announces things that give mankind hope. God had said, "If you eat of the tree that I commanded you not to eat, you will surely die." And so they've done what God told them not to do. He made the consequences very clear, and yet God brings good news to them. The first part of the good news is there's going to be continuity. Maybe we've heard these words so often that we don't think about the fact that they were told they would die, and yet here is the promise of offspring, that there will be life that will follow from them. There will be continuity yet to the human race. That there also will be conflict. That's good news. That God says, "I will put enmity. I will make you enemies where you've tried to be friends." That's good news, that God is going to drive a wedge between the devil and the offspring of fallen humanity. And finally, there's the promise of conquest. You know I had to have 3 points, right? So continuity is reason for hope. Conflict is reason for hope, given who the conflict is with, the devil. And conquest, the promise that in the end, the offspring of the woman would crush the head of the serpent. That the conflict would end in conquest for the offspring of the woman. Here we have the idea, as Sinclair Ferguson put it, that finds its expression in the reality that Jesus announces in Matthew 16, "I will build my church and the gates of hell will not prevail against it." That's the reality that he promises that will come to fulfillment, as Paul says, when the God of peace will soon crush Satan under your feet. This is a promise that can only come to fruition because the Lord Jesus has come into the world. This is the first announcement of that promise that will be fulfilled at his coming, and he removes the reason for fear. He assures the victory of God's people, and that's why we can rest merry as the people of God. So we want to sing this next carol, "God Rest Ye Merry Gentlemen." We'll remain seated as we sing the verses that are printed there from number 314. Thank you. As we continue that theme of promise and fulfillment, we look at the promises made to Abraham in Genesis 12, 1 through 3 and 15, 1 through 6. Now the Lord said to Abram, "Go from your country and your kindred and your father's house to the land that I will show you, and I will make of you a great nation, and I will bless you and make your name great so that you will be a blessing. I will bless those who bless you, and him who dishonors you I will curse, and in you all the families of the earth shall be blessed." And after these things, the word of the Lord came to Abram in a vision. "Fear not, Abram, I am your shield. Your reward shall be very great." But Abram said, "O Lord God, what will you give me? For I continue childless, and the heir of my house is Eliezer of Damascus." And Abram said, "Behold, you have given me no offspring, and a member of my household will be my heir." And behold, the word of the Lord came to him, "This man shall not be your heir. Your very own son shall be your heir." And he brought him outside and said, "Look toward heaven and number the stars, if you are able to number them." And he said to him, "So shall your offspring be." And he believed the Lord, and he counted it to him as righteousness. Let's stand together and sing "Silent Night, Holy Night," number 315. We'll sing this together a cappella. be seated. Go to our third lesson. So about 1,000 years after God spoke to Abraham, he speaks to David, and we read about that promise in 2 Samuel 7, verses 1 through 16. Now when the king lived in his house and the Lord had given him rest from all his surrounding enemies, the king said to Nathan the prophet, "See now, I dwell in a house of cedar, but the ark of God dwells in a tent." And Nathan said to the king, "Go, do all that is in your heart, for the Lord is with you." But that same night the word of the Lord came to Nathan, "Go and tell my servant David, thus says the Lord, would you build me a house to dwell in? I have not lived in a house since the day I brought up the people of Israel from Egypt to this day, but I have been moving about in a tent for my dwelling. In all places where I have moved with all the people of Israel, did I speak a word with any of the judges of Israel, whom I commanded to shepherd my people Israel, saying, 'Why have you not built me a house of cedar?' Now therefore, thus you shall say to my servant David, 'Thus says the Lord of hosts, I took you from the pasture, from following the sheep, that you should be prince over my people Israel. And I have been with you wherever you went, and have cut off all your enemies from before you. And I will make for you a great name, like the name of the great ones of the earth. And I will appoint a place for my people Israel, and will plant them so that they may dwell in their own place and be disturbed no more. And violent men shall afflict them no more as formerly, from the time that I appointed judges over my people Israel. And I will give you rest from all your enemies. Moreover, the Lord declares to you that the Lord will make you a house. When your days are fulfilled and you lie down with your fathers, I will raise up your offspring after you, who shall come from your body, and I will establish his kingdom. He shall build a house for my name, and I will establish the throne of his kingdom forever. I will be to him a father, and he shall be to me a son. When he commits iniquity, I will discipline him with the rod of men, with the stripes of the son of men, but my steadfast love will not depart from him, as I took it from Saul, whom I put away from before you. And your house and your kingdom shall be made sure forever before me. Your throne shall be established forever." Let's sing our next song, "O Come All Ye Faithful," number 319. We'll remain seated as we sing this song. Our fourth lesson comes from several readings from the prophet Isaiah, who prophesied about the coming Messiah. And so we want to read from his prophecy. So in Isaiah 7, 10 through 14, we read, "Again the Lord spoke to Ahaz, 'Ask a sign of the Lord your God. Let it be deep as Sheol or high as heaven.' But Ahaz said, 'I will not ask, and I will not put the Lord to the test.' And he said, 'Hear then, O house of David, is it too little for you to weary men, that you weary my God also? Therefore the Lord himself will give you a sign. Behold, the virgin shall conceive and bear a son, and shall call his name Emmanuel,'" which means God with us. In Isaiah 9, we read, "The people who walked in darkness have seen a great light. Those who dwelt in a land of deep darkness, on them has light shone. You have multiplied the nation, you have increased its joy. They rejoice before you as with joy at the harvest, as they are glad when they divide the spoil. For the yoke of his burden and the staff for his shoulder, the rod of his oppressor you have broken as on the day of Midian. For every boot of the tramping warrior in battle tumult and every garment rolled in blood will be burned as fuel for the fire. For to us a child is born, to us a son is given, and the government shall be upon his shoulder. And his name shall be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. Of the increase of his government and of peace there will be no end. On the throne of David and over his kingdom, to establish it and uphold it with justice and with righteousness from this time forth and forevermore. The zeal of the Lord of hosts will do this." Then in Isaiah 11, "There shall come forth a shoot from the stump of Jesse, and a branch from his roots shall bear fruit. And the Spirit of the Lord shall rest upon him, the Spirit of wisdom and understanding, the Spirit of counsel and might, Spirit of knowledge and the fear of the Lord, and his delight shall be in the fear of the Lord. He shall not judge by what his eyes see or decide disputes by what his ears hear, but with righteousness he shall judge the poor and decide with equity for the meek of the earth. And he shall strike the earth with the rod of his mouth, and with the breath of his lips he shall kill the wicked. Righteousness shall be the belt of his waist, and faithfulness the belt of his loins." Let's sing together, "O Come, Emmanuel," number 293, and we'll stand together and sing this song. be seated. We turn to our fifth lesson, which has not only the promise from Psalm 132, but the fulfillment that Zechariah sees in Luke chapter 1, and so we want to read both of these passages together. So Psalm 132, verses 11 through 18, "The Lord swore to David a sure oath from which he will not turn back. One of the sons of your body I will set on your throne. If your sons keep my covenant and my testimonies that I shall teach them, their sons also forever shall sit on your throne. For the Lord has chosen Zion. He has desired it for his dwelling place. This is my resting place forever. Here I will dwell, for I have desired it. I will abundantly bless her provisions. I will satisfy her poor with bread. Her priests I will clothe with salvation, and her saints will shout for joy. There I will make a horn to sprout for David. I have prepared a lamp for my anointed. His enemies I will clothe with shame, but on him his crown will shine." And then from Luke 1:67 to 79, "And his father Zechariah was filled with the Holy Spirit and prophesied, saying, 'Blessed be the Lord God of Israel, for he has visited and redeemed his people, and has raised up a horn of salvation for us in the house of his servant David, as he spoke by the mouth of his holy prophets from of old, that we should be saved from our enemies and from the hand of all who hate us, to show the mercy promised to our fathers, and to remember his holy covenant, the oath that he swore to our father Abraham, to grant us that we, being delivered from the hand of our enemies, might serve him without fear in holiness and righteousness before him all our days. And you, child, will be called the prophet of the Most High, for you will go before the Lord to prepare his ways, to give knowledge of salvation to his people in the forgiveness of their sins, because of the tender mercy of our God, whereby the sunrise shall visit us from on high, to give light to those who sit in darkness and in the shadow of death, to guide our feet in the way of peace." Let's sing "Once in Royal David City," number 322, and we'll sing the verses that are printed there in the bulletin. We'll remain seated as we sing. to turn to our sixth lesson from the Gospel of Luke and from the Gospel of Matthew as we come closer to the birth of Christ as recorded in Matthew's Gospel and in Luke's. And so Luke chapter 1, verses 26 through 38, we read, "In the sixth month, the angel Gabriel was sent from God to a city of Galilee named Nazareth to a virgin betrothed to a man whose name was Joseph of the house of David, and the virgin's name was Mary. And he came to her and said, 'Greetings, O favored one, the Lord is with you.' But she was greatly troubled at the saying and tried to discern what sort of greeting this might be. And the angel said to her, 'Do not be afraid, Mary, for you have found favor with God. And behold, you will conceive in your womb and bear a son, and you shall call his name Jesus. He will be great and will be called the Son of the Most High. And the Lord God will give to him the throne of his father David. And he will reign over the house of Jacob forever, and of his kingdom there will be no end.' And Mary said to the angel, 'How will this be, since I am a virgin?' And the angel answered her, 'The Holy Spirit will come upon you, and the power of the Most High will overshadow you. Therefore the child to be born will be called Holy, the Son of God. And behold, your relative Elizabeth in her old age has also conceived a son, and this is the sixth month with her who was called barren, for nothing will be impossible with God.' And Mary said, 'Behold, I am the servant of the Lord. Let it be to me according to your word.' And the angel departed from her." And the announcement to Joseph from Matthew 1. Now the birth of Jesus Christ took place in this way. When his mother Mary had been betrothed to Joseph before they came together, she was found to be with child from the Holy Spirit. And her husband Joseph, being a just man and unwilling to put her to shame, resolved to divorce her quietly. But as he considered these things, behold, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream, saying, "Joseph, son of David, do not fear to take Mary as your wife, for that which is conceived in her is from the Holy Spirit. She will bear a son, and you shall call his name Jesus, for he will save his people from their sins." All this took place to fulfill what the Lord had spoken by the prophet, "Behold, the virgin shall conceive and bear a son, and they shall call his name Emmanuel," which means God with us. When Joseph woke from sleep, he did as the angel of the Lord commanded him. He took his wife, but knew her not until she had given birth to a son, and he called his name Jesus. We'll now sing our next song, "What Child Is This?" number 317, and let's stand together as we sing this song.
Thank you.
Please be seated. Let's turn to our seventh lesson, the account of the Lord's birth from Luke's Gospel, Luke chapter 2, verses 1 through 21. In those days, a decree went out from Caesar Augustus that all the world should be registered. This was the first registration when Quirinius was governor of Syria. And all went to be registered, each to his own town. And Joseph also went up from Galilee, from the town of Nazareth to Judea, to the city of David, which is called Bethlehem, because he was of the house and lineage of David, to be registered with Mary, his betrothed, who was with child. And while they were there, the time came for her to give birth. And she gave birth to her firstborn son and wrapped him in swaddling cloths and laid him in a manger, because there was no place for them in the inn. And in the same region there were shepherds out in the field, keeping watch over their flock by night. And an angel of the Lord appeared to them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were filled with fear. And the angel said to them, "Fear not, for behold, I bring you good news of great joy that will be for all the people. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, who is Christ the Lord. And this will be a sign for you: you will find a baby wrapped in swaddling cloths and lying in a manger." And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of the heavenly hosts, praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace among those with whom he is pleased." When the angels went away from them into heaven, the shepherds said to one another, "Let us go over to Bethlehem and see this thing that has happened, which the Lord has made known to us." And they went with haste and found Mary and Joseph and the baby lying in a manger. And when they saw it, they made known the saying that had been told them concerning this child. And all who heard it wondered at what the shepherds told them. But Mary treasured up all these things, pondering them in her heart. And the shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all they had heard and seen, as it had been told them. And at the end of 8 days, when he was circumcised, he was called Jesus, the name given by the angel before he was conceived in the womb. Let's turn now to our next song, "Angels We Have Heard on High," and we'll remain seated as we sing number 318.
Thank you.
your Latin is a little rusty, that just means glory to God in the highest. It's a song the angel sang probably in Aramaic, and Luke recorded it in Greek. So it's for any tongue, it's of the God for all people. And we remember that this story started with the tree that represented man's sin. It would lead to the tree of the cross for our Lord Jesus Christ, where he would pay for the sins of his people there, that his sacrifice might become a tree of life to us. And so the story begins with a tree. It ends on the tree of the cross where our Lord says it is finished, and it becomes a tree of life for us that we'll eat the fruit from in the garden of our God. The story of salvation that's been accomplished by our Lord and Savior. We've sung his praise. Now let's go to him in prayer together. Let us pray. Merciful Father, you so loved the world that you gave your only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish but have eternal life. For you did not send your Son into the world to condemn the world, but in order that the world might be saved through him. And so we thank you for the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, that though he was rich, he became poor for us, so that we might, by his poverty, might become rich. He is the eternal Word made flesh, a great light shining in the darkness. And only because of your Word and Spirit can we see that light and be drawn into his brightness. So we pray that you would give us the grace humbly and joyfully to receive your Son, even as the shepherds and wise men who welcomed him, and to look no further for our redemption than to our Savior, who was once a child lying in a manger and has now been seated at your right hand to reign forever. And we look forward with patient hope to the great day when he will return in glory, to perfect us in your likeness, to bring us at the last to rejoice in beholding your beauty, and to glory in your grace with all your saints. This we pray in the name of Jesus Christ, our Savior and Lord, and all God's people said, Amen. We now have the opportunity to give of our gifts and offerings for the Spanish ministry, the work that's ongoing at the Ontario URC. Stand together and sing our closing carol, Hark the Herald Angels Sing. We'll stand together and sing all the verses of number 311. Thank you. Well, dearly loved congregation of our Lord Jesus Christ, I hope you have a Merry Christmas, and let's lift up our hearts to the Lord now and receive His blessing. And may the God of peace, who brought again from the dead our Lord Jesus, the great shepherd of the sheep, by the blood of the eternal covenant, equip you with everything good, that you may do His will, working in us that which is pleasing in His sight, through Jesus Christ, to whom be the glory forever and ever. Amen. People of God, go in peace.